Hello, welcome back to another episode of New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And I'm Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about
fear of what people think of us. Welcome back. Just wanted to thank you for tuning in, whether you're on our website, neweveryday.tv, whether you're following us on YouTube, or maybe you're listening in on Stitcher. Stitcher is an app that you can download so that you can listen to your favorite podcasts anywhere. You don't have to be connected to Wi-Fi. I think it's a really amazing app because I commute back and forth to work, and it's great to be able to listen to your podcasts without having to require a Wi-Fi connection. So you can listen on Stitcher as well.
We also want to thank Eco Alkalines for powering the electrical stuff in the room, like our camera and our microphones. And what type of battery are they?
Carbon neutral, environmentally friendly. And thank you also to Category 5 for hosting our show and Robbie Ferguson for editing, directing, and producing. So today, we're kind of shifting gears a little bit from, we had been talking about missions trips for the last couple of weeks, and we're shifting gears to talk about something else, Jen.
Well, we're going to talk about the fear of man, or the fear of people. And it came up this week because I was having a conversation with a lady that I pray with. Every week we get together and pray. And she had just finished reading a book, and I believe it's called, like, The Love Idol. But basically, it is how we are too concerned with the way other people think about us. And so we live our lives out based on the thoughts of other people, or our perceived thoughts, or even not our perceived thoughts. Like, we know exactly what they're thinking about us because they've told us.
Yeah.
And it really challenged me because she said, she's a teacher at one of the local high schools here. And she said, you know, I heard some, when I interact with students, am I interacting with the students in a real and genuine way of this is who I really am? Or am I laughing at that joke? Or am I being this way in order to make myself more pleasing to them, to build that connection? And yet it always feels fake to us. Mm-hmm. Like whenever we sort of act in a certain way to get somebody else's check mark, seal of approval, it always feels kind of fake. So we were talking about, why do we do the things we do when really we need to find and put our hope and trust in God and to behave or live our lives out in the ways that He's calling us to.
Right.
And this has actually been something that I have struggled with my entire life, is a fear of man.
Really?
And so I would always say words that I thought the other people wanted to hear, or I would hang out with people that I thought I should be hanging out with because I didn't want them to be upset with me.
Mm-hmm.
Even up to my parents, like I would behave in a certain way around my parents or do things, you know, that would please my parents, but I wasn't necessarily happy, you know, in doing any of those things. But what I found happiness is, well, I made them happy. And if they're happy, then they're not upset with me.
Right.
And then, because I was so concerned with whether or not people liked me, which is so fleeting and can change from day to day to day. And it wasn't until I did a year-long discipleship school at a ministry called LL Ministries. It was at Pierrepont in England. And we talked about fear one day. And so I can still remember, we're in a big circle and somebody read Jeremiah 17.
Oh, really?
So, and this is what it says. It says, this is what the Lord says. This is Jeremiah 17, 5. This is what the Lord says. A curse is placed on those who trust other people, who depend on humans for strength, who have stopped trusting the Lord. They are like a bush in the desert that grows in a land where no one lives, a hot and dry land with bad soil. They don't know about the good things God can give. But the person who trusts in the Lord will be blessed. The Lord will show him that he can be trusted. He will be strong like a tree planted near water that sends its roots by a stream. It is not afraid when the days are hot. Its leaves are always green. It does not worry in a year when no rain comes. It always produces fruit. And it's the little note that I have written beside it is, we do not need to worry when we trust in the Lord, because he will always provide for us. And when we trust in people, we miss out on the good things that God can give, because I'm putting my faith and my hope in people. And you said something really interesting when we were getting ready for the show, and I was reading you that verse, that they don't know about the good things God can give.
So it's like they didn't trust in the Lord because they didn't know his character,
mm-hmm.
or his love for them, that he would provide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something that I do quite often is remind myself of God's character. Like, who is God? So I'll go through the alphabet.
Okay, so what do you mean?
So maybe we'll play a little game so you can sort of understand.
Okay.
And name off a characteristic of God.
Okay.
So I'll start. So I have A. So awesome. So you would have B.
I would have B. So I could say beautiful.
C, caring.
Devoted.
That's good.
Thanks, man.
The word that comes to mind is expressions, that he uses expressions to relate to people.
Okay. F would be faithful.
Nice.
Friendly.
Gracious.
H. Holy.
Ooh. Indescribable.
J. Jesus. Yes. That's the right answer. That's the Sunday school answer.
King of
so
Kings.
I like that.
But it really helps me. And as I go through it, whenever I'm really struggling with who is God, because this says, it says they don't know about the good things God can give. And I think it's because we forget who God is.
Hmm.
So when we forget who God is, then that fear of man
creeps in.
And so it's like, I have to remind myself of who God is. And I actually went through the Bible one year. I had a chart in the back of my devotion book.
Yeah.
And I had the letters A through Z written down. And every time I came across a word that described God or Jesus,
yeah.
the Holy Spirit, I would write it down.
That's a great idea.
So,
and did you have a long list?
My page was full.
Amazing.
Of just names of who God was. And I remember I would read it and I'd be like, oh, he is my comforter. Yes, he is my provider. Yes, he is my protector. Why am I getting sucked in to being afraid of people?
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs 29:25 says, being afraid of people can get you into trouble, but if you trust the Lord, you will be safe. And what just occurred to me is often peer pressure is the fear of man.
Yeah.
We do things because we're afraid of our friends, and what are my friends going to think about me?
Yeah,
you know, if I say no,
yeah,
to this, we're actually more afraid of our friends than the Lord.
Whereas being confident in God, I think, is sometimes it enables people to feel okay about themselves, to feel okay that they can be loved and accepted. But you know, I have in the past slipped into that because, you know, so at one workplace, they, you know, knew I was a Christian and kind of would call me like a goody two shoes and that kind of thing. And so they were talking about alcohol and they were different drinks. And I think jokes came up and I made a joke about drinking as if I had had that type of drink.
Right.
So, and you know, I don't really drink, but, and because I wanted to be part of the joke. But, and then I realized I was just doing that so that they didn't think I was overly conservative and I could still hang out with them and be cool. Yes. And I was like, what am I doing? You know, I was embarrassed of myself. They didn't think anything of it, but I knew that I was not being true, you know?
Yeah. I remember being teased in public school. And in public school, you date boys.
Oh, you go out.
Yes. And so I've been going out with this boy, and I didn't kiss him. I didn't feel like I should be kissing him. Like, I had no desire to kiss him. And then we broke up, and... because it's public school, but the pressure. I got called square, which basically means that, oh, you're so prudish. Yeah. I guess it's a really hard word to translate. Like, what's wrong with you that you wouldn't kiss someone? And I struggled with that. I'm like, is there, like, I want to be accepted by my friends. Maybe I should have just kissed him. And it really got me thinking about how often we get sucked into... that peer pressure, which really is fear of men. I'm afraid of what my friends are going to say. And a friend of mine messaged me this week saying that her daughter was feeling pressured to get into some games that weren't games, pushing her to go, like, wanted her to play with a Ouija board. And she wanted to know what she should say. You know, how does she respond to her friends and not wanting to feel like the goody two shoes, or, you know,
I was at a party and my friends peer pressured me to use a Ouija board.
Yeah. And she really struggled. She's like, how do I teach my 13-year-old daughter how to honor God in this situation? And yet, how do you witness to the friends as well? Like, it is, cause I will be honest. I have come under other people's, like, fear, where I want them to like me.
Yeah.
And there's a story in the Bible, Saul, King Saul.
Yeah.
And he was chosen by God. Like, God said, Samuel, go and anoint Saul. And so Samuel goes and anoints Saul. This is in like, chapter, well, it's 1 Samuel, probably around chapter 6, something like that. Robbie will do his thing. But goes and anoints Saul to be king.
Yeah.
On coronation day, they go to set Saul apart as king.
Yeah.
And they can't find him.
Where was he?
He's hiding with the luggage. Okay. Which I just feel so crazy. But he was afraid to come out. He was afraid to step out. He was afraid, either he was afraid to take on that responsibility or afraid that people would now look at him totally differently. But he was afraid to come out. But then later on, it talks about, and I wrote this down, in 1 Samuel 15, 24. So I'm just going to turn to that. 1 Samuel 15, verse 15, 24. And it says, because this is one of the places where, well, it is the place that Saul is rejected as king, because he was making, he was taking things into his own hands, things that were set aside for the priests only to do.
Right.
He was doing himself.
Yeah.
And it goes on, like, Sam. Whoops. So basically, Saul was told to destroy the Amalekites. And Saul did not destroy the Amalekites. And he goes on to say, Saul says, starting in verse 20, Saul said, but I did obey the Lord. I did what the Lord told me to do. I destroyed all the Amalekites and I brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took the best sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. And it's like, yeah, that was...
not what God asked you to do.
That's not what God asked you to do. And then Samuel answered, what pleases the Lord more, burnt offerings and sacrifices or obedience to his voice? It is better to obey than to sacrifice. It is better to listen to God than to offer the fat of sheep. Disobedience is as bad as the sin of sorcery. Pride is as bad as the sin of worshiping idols. You have rejected the Lord's command. Now he rejects you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I didn't obey the Lord's command and your words. I was afraid of the people and I did what they said. As a result of being afraid of the people, the kingdom was taken away from him. And I'm like,
wow, hefty price to pay.
Yeah, because he chose not to fear the Lord. And we're told in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that goes right back to the Jeremiah passage where you said, they don't know who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And so because we don't know who God is, we come into the fear of man, which actually draws us away from what God has called us to. And that's why Samuel says, what does the Lord really want? He wants your obedience. He wants you to listen to him. And yet, here we are, you know, struggling with, well, what do other people think of me? If I, you know, we might get dressed and put something on and, oh, well, if I wear this, what will they say? And that's a struggle. Like, and that's just one little thing. Or, you know, if I hang out with these people and not these people, well, what are these people going to say?
Yeah, we even do that in church sometimes. But I thank God that he offers us freedom from that. And there's a verse that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yes.
And, you know, when I think about the times when I have, you know, done things with friends that I regret, I celebrate the fact that I am learning about who God is and how much he actually loves me.
Yes.
In spite of that, because when he looks at me now, he sees his son, because I've put off my old self and I'm putting on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So, yay God.
Because his mercy is new every day.
Yeah. And now, I'm learning about him, I'm learning about the truth of God, and I can say confidently with Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
It's the power of God that when we share the gospel, he works through it. And so I'm trying now with his help that when I feel that fear come in, I can say, that's my old self.
Yes.
That's not me anymore. Thank God that I'm being renewed in his image.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think part of understanding the character of God is, it's like two parts, right? We fear him because I think it's in Luke 6, right? Where he says, don't fear man. What can mortal man do to you? Fear him who has the power to destroy both the physical body, but also throw your soul into hell.
Yes, no. Luke says it, but so does Matthew.
Okay.
And so the difference between the Gospels is just who they're writing to.
Right.
Usually. And so that's why sometimes you find the same thing
in different
books, but it might have a different twist to it depending on who their audience is.
Mm-hmm.
So the one I had written down is the Matthew 10:28, which says, I'm like,
it's there.
It's there, but I was reading, come to me, all you who are tired. I'm like, oh, that's chapter 11. Also
a good verse about God's character that we can come to him.
Yes.
But essentially it's saying,
it says, don't be afraid of people who can kill the body,
yeah,
but cannot kill the soul.
Right.
The only one you should fear is the one who can destroy your soul and the body in hell.
Huh. And it's like, okay, God is holy and awesome, but he is also so loving and so amazing. And we have the opportunity and the great joy of becoming children of God because of what Christ has done. So this past week, I became an aunt again to a little baby named Ava. And I was saying to Jen that it's just so crazy how I look at this baby and I don't even know her. And I already love her. And I think about, okay, let's turn that to God, who he made us, he knows us, and he loves us. Yes. And it was so weird because I'm like, how can I love this thing so much, this person so much? I don't even know her, and yet I know she's wonderful. Mm. And she hasn't done anything wrong, and I still love her. And God knows the things we've done wrong, and yet He loves us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
And I think knowing that our new identity in Christ, you know, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And the only yes. perfect love comes from God, found in the person of Jesus Christ. And when and we see God's perfect love displayed through that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Jen, when I talk about this, I feel confident, not just confident, yes. but confident about it, that it's real.
Yes.
Sometimes at work, when I've worked a long shift and I've seen a lot of bad things happen and I hear friends talking and I start to get low, that's when I need to remind myself of the truth of Scripture. Mm-hmm. This is, I don't need to be afraid of man. This is the truth, you know?
Yes. And sometimes being in church circles, mm-hmm. As a pastor, you know, I'll hear something that the kids are saying or somebody is saying or becoming a part of, or and I don't want to step in because I'm like, oh, I'm going to sound like the pastor who's saying, no, oh, well, she's the pastor, so she has to say it. But I actually feel convicted. Like, if they continue down this road, they're going to make this and this and this yeah. choice. So how do I...
That's the truth.
You know, I feel, you know, okay, Holy Spirit, are you prompting me to say something to this person? Could you please make it really evident because I don't want it to be... I don't want to always be perceived as, oh, well, the pastor, you're expected to say that. When it genuinely is needed to be said. Because I think sometimes we can get caught up in that, like, truth needs to be said.
Yeah.
But we're so concerned of how we're going to be perceived or how even that person is going to receive it.
That's so true. And actually, I can share a story about that. A friend of mine was dating this guy, and she was a Christian, and he was not. And they were living together, and he just was not good for her, and it was not a good situation. And I did care for her, but she seemed so happy, and they were now planning their wedding. And I was like, I need to say something. But she was very excited about, you know, marrying this guy, and life was going to be good, and then they were going to get a house. And I was like, oh, is it really my place? Am I just supposed to love her and not say anything? And then I thought, oh, she's not going to want to be my friend after, and then I'll lose the opportunity to be her friend, and blah, 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 blah. And she ended up breaking up with the guy because he ended up being, you know, bad news. And I met with her for lunch after, and she said, and I mentioned something like, yeah, you know what, it was not a good situation. And she said, Carrie, you are my friend, and why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say something to me even though I seemed happy, but you knew the truth of what was really going on? I was like, wow, you are right, and I'm sorry. I did not step up to the plate. I was more afraid of what you were going to think of me than in love sharing what I knew to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of learned from that one.
I feel like we're just scratching the surface.
I know.
Scratch, scratch, scratch. So what we're going to do is we're going to push pause for today's show. And I think we'll just pick it up again for next week's show.
Sure.
Because there's still lots that we... This is a huge topic. Yeah. Like, for me, this has been a major thing in my life that I've had to hand over to the Lord to have Him root it out.
Oh, okay.
So we're just going to close in prayer and...
Pick up next week. Sounds good.
Okay. Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom. And you did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but one of power, of love, and a sound mind. So you said, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with us wherever we go. So, Father, help us to have a deeper understanding of who you are, your provision for our life, and the fact that you really will look after us when we surrender everything to you. Forgive us for coming under the fear of man. Would you break the power of it in our life? Would you show us the root causes of it? And would you help us to live faithfully following you? And I ask this in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for watching or listening on Stitcher. And we hope to see you again next week on You Every Day. new every day.
That's right, Jen.
Cheers.
Have a good week.